570.
An LA sports icon.
Fred Rogan is here tonight.
Decades on your television covering Los Angeles sports.
Fred Rogan, huge in Los Angeles.
The Dean.
I'm the Dean.
Fred Rogan.
Weekdays before Petros and Money.
A USC All-American.
USC's Rodney Peet.
An NFL quarterback.
Absolutely perfectly delivered by Rodney
Peet.
Available on the iHeartRadio app or on AM570LASports.com.
This is Rogan and Rodney.
And we continue on. Fred Rogan and Rodney Peet on AM570 LA Sports. All right, Dodger fans, Yasiel Puig said, yeah, I might want to come back. Let's give it another shot.
Wild horse.
Let's ride the wild horse.
Vic will be happy.
Yeah, let's get on the stallion and go.
And lawyers all over LA, because then they can finally slap him with lawsuits.
Oh my God, Rob.
Oh. Was his mic hot?
Apparently it was.
You got a hot mic, Rob. You got a hot mic.
Anyway, we'll take your calls on that later. But now let's welcome on Rob Parker. Rob, welcome to the show.
Sorry about that.
That's all right.
Thanks, you really? Kawhi. Are you really?
No, I'm not. No, you know.
He could be a changed man.
He could be, you know.
Ooh, Rob, I mean, or Yasiel Puig?
Not Rob.
Yasiel Puig. Yeah. I mean, he was, I know while he was here, he was trying to be the father of Los Angeles, but.
Oh, God, Rob.
Don't you remember when Steve Garvey had gotten all those women pregnant? How many did he get, like 8 women pregnant? Do you remember that story?
I don't know the number, Rob.
Okay. But it was cool. It was people out here that were so creative and funny because they were wearing T-shirts. Do you remember? Steve Garvey's my father. You remember that?
Yeah, Rob, I do.
Are you going to cost us some King's Hawaiian bread talking trash about Steve Garvey there, Rob? Calm down, bro.
Are you saying Steve got around, Rob? What are you saying?
I get around, I guess. I don't know. It was a story at one point. I'm sorry. Hello, guys. What's up?
Hello, Rob.
It might be my jet lag from New York, you know? I'm sorry.
Yeah, how was your trip?
It was awesome. It really was good. You know, got a little bit of snow when that storm came through the East Coast.
Yeah.
But nothing serious. It wasn't too cold. Most of the time, I didn't have to wear any gloves. You know, it was cold, but not freezing cold.
Did you correct the Hall of Fame?
No, I did not correct it. Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet. And the other great part, for the first time in my natural life, I went to New York and spent a significant amount of time, 7 days, and did not see one rat in 7 days in New York. Unbelievable. That got to be a Guinness Book of World Record.
Times have changed, Rob. They've cleaned that up.
Yes.
Did you leave your hotel?
I did. Hey, there could be some there in the hotel. You know, I'm always looking for a deal. You know what I'm saying? But no.
You bring your own rats? Yeah, bring your- I need this room comped.
But the thing that was crazy was because I was doing the radio show with Chris Broussard, you know, I had to take the subway to the iHeartRadio studios, which is on Canal Street.
Yeah.
You know, in lower Manhattan. So I was on the train 2 and 3 times a day commuting from my hotel to the radio station. And I don't know how it happened, but I did not see not a single one.
Well, they cleaned up the city knowing you would be there.
Is that it? Because yeah. I've seen video of rats carrying a slice of pizza. Have you seen that video?
Yes, they have.
It became and a large Diet Coke. You know what I mean? At least they were conscious.
Yeah, that rat with the pizza became like, where's Waldo?
Oh, that was crazy. He was carrying everywhere. A full slice of pizza. Fred, did you see it?
I didn't, but he was a big rat and he was hungry.
Full slice. You got to see the video. It is like
memes of the rat everywhere. The rat was everywhere with pizza. But so you go to New York. When you go to New York, Rob, are you like on the lookout for rats? Is that what you think? Looking around the corner, or do you just happen to run into rats?
I'm one of those guys. I have my eyesight peripheral. You know what I mean? Like, I always see stuff moving. I just for as long as I've been, you know, living, growing up in New York, I always seem to see a rat at some point. You know, not every day, but in the subways. If you're on the subways, not really in the streets or walking on the sidewalk. It's really the subways, because that's where they live, down underground. And it was just shocking to me that normally when I get to New York, usually the first thing I see is a rat. usually.
Mm. All right.
Wow. I hate that.
All right, enough rat talk. Okay.
All right, but no, I got another one. I'll expand the rat talk. Who's the rat with the Lakers right now?
Wow. I'm not going to call him a rat, but I think we finally got to a situation where it's come to a head. And if you remember, most people didn't believe this was a fit, didn't think it was going to work, and I'm not surprised that now Westbrook was benched last night. And going forward, we'll see what, you know, happens and how they, you know, because once you do that to a star player, a guy who's on the 75 greatest players of all time list, he ain't at the end of his career, you know, like that. Like you just threw down the gauntlet by benching him and kind of embarrassing him. He left the building without talking to the media, so obviously he's upset. So this is going to be interesting how it plays out. I mean, I'm not surprised it hasn't worked.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I'm surprised it's taken, you know, this long for something like this to happen. I mean, it wasn't, you know, he didn't bench him for just to bench him. He benched him. He wasn't playing well, which
right.
has been many games this season for Russ that he had not played well, especially down the stretch where we've seen him turn the ball over and take bad shots, and it's just been ugly. But he wasn't playing well last night. So, you know, if your eyes are being honest with you, he did it for the right reasons. And I always look at it like if you're the player, like if you're Russ, I know he stormed off and he didn't talk to the media and he's you know, obviously hurt and upset about it. But you also got to be a little bit realistic too, don't you? I mean, as a player of, you know, I wasn't getting it done. I mean, that's kind of – nobody likes to get benched. Nobody wants to get benched. But if you're not playing well and it's the last 4 minutes of the game, you got to kind of take that, don't you think? You got to take it and go, you know what, I wasn't playing well. I get it. I understand. Sometimes, you know, you have an off night and the coach wants to go in a different direction. I get it.
Yeah, you would think so, Rodney, but you know, you played at that level, you know, and guys have massive egos, and nowadays none of these guys want to be criticized. I'm dead, like none of them. Like, if you criticize them or say anything that's not positive, you're a hater and you're this and you got an agenda. Not just the fact that they're not playing well or you can't say it. I mean, I don't understand where this has come from, where people feel like they can't be criticized. No one's perfect. People have ups and downs. I remember week one of the NFL season when Aaron Rodgers threw two picks and the Packers got demolished by the Saints. You remember that? People, Aaron Rodgers, you remember the offseason and I don't know if he wants to play and if his heart is in it. They took him to task. You remember that?
Yeah, yeah. Feels like last year.
Yeah, it feels like last year as he rakes up another MVP potentially, right, from the AP.
Yeah. Frank Vogel made that decision last night. I said Frank Vogel's just had enough, Rob. In other words, if you're going to get rid of me, I'm going out on my terms. I'm going to do what I think is best. And everybody else be damned. I mean, the guy's just flailing now. It's not if, it's a matter of when, how long he survives, will he make it through the season or not. But it's quite apparent that they're building a case in the court of public opinion to move him. So I respected him just doing what he thought was best last night. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with you, Fred. Just you might as well do it your way. They're going to put you out anyway and coach and stop playing with kid gloves on people and everything. And then he asked, you know, the story. Oh, yeah, the benching came with approval from the front office, you know, like, did they approve it with the last 4 minutes?
Well,
you know, like, come on, like that. And then, no, he's not going to be fired before we start the road trip. And now there's like daily updates. No, not today. Well, maybe if we would have lost to Utah in that game and didn't come back, it might have been that day, but not today. Maybe not tomorrow. I mean, what a mess. And that's all they have to do is really blame Frank Vogel, because there's really nothing else they can do. They can't blame the general manager because he's playing pretty well for the Lakers and LeBron James. So you can't blame the general manager, who, remember, went out and told everybody, keep the same energy about our team, because remember, people criticized the Westbrook trade. People did, and LeBron pushed back. He sent out the video on social media of him having a powwow with him and Anthony Davis and Westbrook. Come on, guys, you know we can all do this. And everybody, yeah, I'm willing to do whatever it takes for the team. Yeah, and all that. And now here we are more than half the season over, and it's been a fugly season for the Lakers. That's how bad it's been. It's been bad.
I'm never a fan of firing a coach in the middle of a season, Rob, especially if there's nothing – you know, if there's not a problem in the locker room and it's just based on wins and losses. And when we look at the Lakers, it's definitely not Frank Vogel's fault. I just look at if they get rid of Frank Vogel, does anything change? And my answer is no. I mean, nothing changes, right?
Yeah, nothing will change. I agree with you there. But they need something. They got to feed something to the fans that we're trying to do something. This isn't acceptable, you know. You just can't stand – the Lakers can't stand pat and have the season just – and you know what? What was it? Nate McMillan in Atlanta. You remember the move they made last year? They fired their coach and brought on Nate McMillan, and immediately it turned around. They might have – you know, going into the playoffs and going to the what? Eastern Conference Finals, right? They lost to – didn't they win? They beat the Knicks. I can't remember the next series they won. Philadelphia. Yeah. And then they beat Philly, right? Atlanta.
Right.
So you know what I mean. So you could take a look at that and say, yeah, you know, they made a move. They decided to just, you know, try something different, get a different voice. Maybe it works. If it doesn't work. But I think they just realized they can't do anything else, not player-wise, really. Do you think Westbrook's going to get traded?
I don't know who would trade for him.
I always thought maybe it would be like the Sacramento Kings. And I say that because they're trying to sell tickets. You know, they don't have any names, like really big names. And he would at least be that. You could allow him to be the ball dominant player. He probably would excel doing that. And for them, it's just a matter of being relevant, having a top 75 player on your team and a guy people might pay to come see. So a team like that, but I don't know all the logistics and the money, because everybody thinks he can't be moved, but he's been moved three times in the last 3 years.
Yeah.
So he's been moved, right?
Yeah, I mean, it would have to be somebody that's just packing it in and saying, okay, we'll put people in the seats, and it's a chip that when he's done after the following season, we have some money to spend.
Right.
But I don't see them moving him.
Yeah, Sacramento, I mean, the Lakers would die for that. They'd say, where do I sign real quick? Because it would involve Buddy Hield coming to the Lakers, maybe. But then if you're the Sacramento Kings, it stifles De'Aaron Fox, who is an exciting young player that's doing pretty well. So now you're going to take the ball out of his hands and give it to Russ, because he's got to have the ball in his hand. So I don't know about that happening. It's just a salary, Rob. It's just too high.
No, I know. It is a salary, but – I'm just saying, we've seen people moved. Who do we see move from Washington, who's not even playing now?
John Wall.
They moved that contract, right?
Yeah.
Blake Griffin.
Blake Griffin's contract. I mean, we've seen them move because there's some teams who just need something. And I don't know. The Lakers need to do something. But this was coming down the road for a long time.
All right, let's switch to football now. And I guess Sunday we're going to find out who Matthew Stafford is. And you've been talking about it all along. What do you expect from him?
Yeah, this will be interesting to see how it plays out, because he finally got the monkey off his back and won a playoff game.
But that was a layup.
And that was, Fred. I'm glad you said that. Like, a lot of people were jumping around celebrating. Come on. Like, Arizona was never in that game. They never showed up for that game. And the other thing is, Stafford only threw 17 passes. It was a clean game, Rodney, right? No mistakes. And I also think McVay finally, you know, took his foot off the gas and did the right thing. Even I remember before the half, there was a chance they could have tried to squeeze in another one. You know what I mean? Like, let's see if we could get another one here. And instead it was like, no, we'll run the ball. We're not going to do that. We're not going to let Stafford throw a pick and get them back in the game. I thought it was smart.
Yeah, so he has to perform well, or they have to beat Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I mean, it still
comes really good.
Yes, because it still comes down, and everybody knows this. They brought him here for one reason, not to win. Mark Sanchez, Yes, Mark Sanchez. Remember that when he was with the Jets?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mark won four road playoff games, Rodney. Four road playoff games.
Yeah, back-to-back AFC championship.
Including, yep, they went to the AFC championship twice. And one year, I remember they beat Tom Brady and the Patriots at Foxborough. Do you remember that? Yeah. They beat him. So my
one year they beat the Colts with Peyton Manning.
Yes. And Mark Sanchez was the quarterback. So my point is, it's about winning a Super Bowl. That's why Stafford was brought here. Anything less than winning a Super Bowl, and it's not going to be successful. The Rams have been to the Super Bowl. It's not like they're the Lions and have never been to the Super Bowl. Because then you would you would appreciate even a trip to the Super Bowl, even if you didn't win. The Rams have been to the Super Bowl. They want to win a Super Bowl with this bunch, and that's why Stafford is here. So if they don't win, it'll be next year. He don't have to win this year, Rodney, but he's got a couple years, right? But he's got to win it for the time that he's here.
See, that's what I'm saying. So
I think that's fair.
On and saying, you know, he's got to do it this year. And a lot of people, they're all in because they got to figure out what they're going to do with OBJ, Von Miller. You know, they got to figure out what they're going to do with some of these guys.
It would be great if they could do it because you're right.
New situation, new staff, new offense. You know, he gets – say they win two playoff games and they lose at Green Bay if they have to go there.
Right.
You got to give them till next year, like second year in. Like next year, I feel like, okay, that's now all of the pressure is
right,
on them.
Right, because now the clock is ticking too. You know, like even the defense, which played, you know, really well against Arizona, last year started the playoffs, they were the number one defense in the league. This year coming in to the postseason, they were 17th. Right. So you have to look at that, too, and go, you know, like, how long is this group going to be together? You know, at some point, you know, the date on the milk starts to, you know, come due, and you got curdles in your cornflakes. Right, Fred?
But, Rob, if they – all right, and we'll just put it to the conference championship this year. If they don't get to the conference championship, how do you classify this season? Is it a failure?
It's a failure if you don't. I don't think that their goal is just to if they beat Brady and them and lose to Green Bay, they can feel good about where they are and they made some strides. But the bottom line is they came and felt they had everything they needed, except right, Rodney, a quarterback who can make all the throws, and that was supposedly the missing piece that Jared Goff couldn't do. He couldn't make all the throws, and everything had to be perfect. So now if they lose to Tampa and Matt doesn't play well, then people can question whether or not it's going to happen here with Matt. And if he plays well, then there'll be optimism that maybe they shock Green Bay or whoever, or maybe next year they'll really be ready to go.
Yeah, no, I think that they, you know, I think there will be some backlash if they don't beat Tampa because I think Tampa's beatable. Tampa.
This isn't the same Tampa from a year ago. I know.
Exactly. They're very beatable. They lost some guys. They're banged up. And so I think that they can definitely beat Tampa. I think if they get by Tampa and have to go to Green Bay, I think people will give them a pass. Hey, look, they had to go to Lambeau in January to try to win a football game against the MVP, Aaron Rodgers.
And look at all the players they're just getting back now, Rodney, the Packers.
So nobody would – I think they would get a pass if they ended up losing to the Packers in the championship game. But I think the critical game is this one this week, getting by Tampa Bay and him beating Brady in the playoffs would put all the Detroit stuff, I think, in the past.
That would. To be the one to knock Brady out would be, and especially if he plays well. You know, if he plays well, not a Baltimore game where the defense and he has three picks, but they win. It's got to be him playing well and being better than Brady. So this is a game. I haven't made a pick yet. It's going to be interesting.
All right. Well, Rob, great insight as always.
Well, you know, I appreciate you guys. It's great to be back in Los Angeles, and I'll be heading back to New York on Monday.
Oh, nice.
You just got back.
I know. I'm going there for MLB Network. I'm going to be doing some studio work at the MLB Network.
Are we going to have a spring training, Rob?
I believe we will. We got time for that. I do every lock. I'm just going by history, Rodney. Every lockout, there have been no games lost in the regular season of lockouts. Player strikes, we've had a stoppage of the regular season. lockouts, all it takes is one or two situations to be able to make a deal. Just like people didn't think we'd have a deal in 2020, you remember, for the regular season? Remember, it looked like it was dire, like the year wasn't going to happen, and the sides came together and got a deal done. I just think that there's too much to lose if you don't start the season on time. People will find other stuff to do.
All right. Well, we're glad you're doing this with us today. Rob, thanks for the time. One half of the Odd Couple, heard on the Fox Sports Radio Network nightly, 4 to 7 of the West, 7 to 10 of the East. Download the free iHeartRadio app.
Hold on. Wait a minute. Go ahead, Rodney. What do you got to say to me?
Wait. And hey, you Rob. can hear Rob with Chris Broussard.
Hey, Rob.
Yes.
I will. U.S. See you later.
Hey, Fred.
No, Rob.
We'll NBC you later.
All right, Dodger fans. Would you like to see Yasiel Puig back in a uniform? Dodger uniform. Well, up on the phone lines, 866-987-2570. Also, interesting story. How would you feel if the Dodgers played half of their games here and half of their games in Las Vegas? We're going to talk about that in the next half hour as well.
Now's your chance to win $1,000.
Unbelievable.
Just enter this nationwide keyword on our website. Win. That's win. Enter at am570lasports.com. Thanks for joining us on your ride.
Thank you very much. Yes.
Speaking of which, traffic.
Hey, it's your girl, Lena Chantel. You're listening to my homies, Fred Rogan and Rodney P. on AM 570 LA Sports, your home of the Dodgers.
Oh, yes. A little throwback Thursday, Marvin Gaye. Believe it, Fred, 51 years since this song came out. Amazing. 51 wow. years this song came out. Beautiful song. What's going on? It's kind of apropos to today of what's going on in the world. Come on now. What's going on, Fred? Let's go.
Figure it out. Here's what's going on. Yasiel Puig is playing in Korea. Spent some time in Mexico playing. Atlanta Braves signed him, but that deal fell apart when he had COVID. So now Yasiel Puig was asked, hey, if things work out a certain way, would you like to return to the Dodgers? And here's what he had to say.
People are still talking and texting me on Instagram, hey, come back to Los Angeles, not about me, but we going to do the best we can every day now in Korea for this season and the next season to come back to the United States and hopefully God giving an opportunity one day come back to the Dodgers.
Okay, so basically what he's saying is one day he'd like to come back to the Dodgers. Rodney, what do you think about that?
I'm sure he'd like to come back to the Dodgers.
Well, no, I know he would like to. Do you think it's a good idea?
There's no spot for him.
If there was a spot for him, if they took a flyer on him.
And what?
Maybe he's a backup.
Paid him for the minimum?
Well, they gave him $2 million. Whatever they paid him, they could afford him, and he's a backup.
Yeah, why not? Maybe he sounds like he's matured, right? Why not? Still got a lot of fan base here, and fans love him. So, you know, if he's not costing you, you know, a lot of money as a guy that can fill in and play some games, give you some energy, and, you know, still do some of the things that he did when he was here. And if he's grown up and more of a team locker room guy, then yeah, why not? If he's not going to cost you, you know, an enormous amount of money, why not?
Yeah, I think it would be interesting, to say the least, if he could adapt. I mean, obviously he was young when he came here. Let's not forget the story of how he basically had to escape from Cuba. So he probably wasn't prepared for the freedom he felt and the life he had and the money he made. And yeah, he made some mistakes. But everybody grows. Everybody has an opportunity. And if it's performance-based and you say, all right, we can take a flyer on the guy and he'd be a guy coming off the bench if he could help us. I don't know if it's such a bad idea now. They would have to have that conversation with Dave Roberts in the clubhouse, and I think they'd absolutely 1,000% have to be convinced that he's grown up. But that being said,
and there's still guys that are here that were here when he was here before. So it would take those guys saying, yeah, we'll welcome him back in the locker room. They would have to be the ones. I think Dave would, you know, obviously he would have the decision in, along with Andrew Friedman, but I think a lot of input would come from the guys in that clubhouse to see if they would want him back.
Angela,
because he didn't leave on great terms, right?
No.
That was one of the big things is that some of the guys were not happy with some of his behavior, some of the guys in the clubhouse. So that's a big thing to see if he has matured.
Angela, who was listening on the app in Hawaii, Angela, what do you think?
I think you can't teach an old dog new tricks. And he's going to get back here and fall right back into it. Kind of like, it'd be kind of like taking an alky for a tour of wine country.
Well, no, Angela, I don't know if it's like taking an alky.
Like that. That's terrible.
To wine country.
That's a terrible analogy.
No.
Come on, Rodney, man. You know things. He's going to start backsliding. He's going to backslide. That's what I'm saying.
So you're saying
next
like
thing you know, he's at the club and
alcoholic
drama.
Cannot go to dinner. Alcoholic cannot go to into a restaurant that serves any kind of alcohol. Can't go on a wine, go to wine country.
Okay. Wine country's not a good example. It's like taking an alcoholic to BevMo. Okay, to BevMo.
All right. Well, Angela, we appreciate you listening and being a part of the show. I don't know if I completely agree with that. Assessment.
I don't.
Thanks, Angela.
I love you, Angela. Go back to the beach and the cocktails on the beach.
Yeah, right.
In Hawaii.
Enjoy yourself. All right, let's go Gabriel in Orange County. Gabriel, what do you think?
Hey, Dave. How you doing?
Good.
No, you know, I love Puig when he was here, but I just, like Ronnie said, there's no spot for him. There's really no need for him. What the Dodgers really need after the situation with our pitching staff with May, Kershaw, Scherzer, we need pitching. You know, he was fun when he was here. He had his time. But, of course, he would love to come back to the Dodgers because who wouldn't love to be in Los Angeles? But I just, you know, don't think we really need him. And, Ronnie, quit disrespecting my Niners. You're over here already talking about the Rams getting to the Packers. You'll see. My Niners are going to shock everyone again. Nobody's giving us our credit. Y'all see on Saturday.
Hey, I will say this. Nobody wants to face the Niners right now, including
the
Green
team
Bay.
That nobody wants to play right now.
Exactly. I agree with that. I just don't think they survive Green Bay, but I think they give Green Bay all they want.
No, it'll be definitely a tough challenge. And Green Bay, of course, you know, got to give a credit to Duke, Aaron Rodgers, Lambeau Field, and those conditions. You know, they have everything going for them. But if our team is healthy, we got Bosa back, and watch out.
Appreciate it, Gabriel. Thanks for the call. All right, Solomon, go ahead.
Yeah, you know, I loved Puig when he was here. I didn't like the antics. I didn't like the off-field stuff, of course, and some of the stuff that he pulled on the field as well. But like you say, if the guy's grown up, he's got to be an addition. He's always a spark plug. Like I say, I love the guy, you know, when he's on the field. And you just have to have a situation where, I hate to say it, all he has to do is sneeze and he's gone. That's how I would – those are the parameters I would set up. Other than that, I'd love to see him back in a Dodger uniform. I think he brings excitement to the team and to the game.
All right, Solomon. Appreciate it. Thanks. Here's how I look at it. If the guy takes a flyer, if you take a flyer on the guy and he can play, I don't see why you wouldn't give him another look. Again, Rodney, you made a valid point. The point being, guys in the clubhouse would have to sign off on this because they were the ones most affected by him the first go-around. But if he can play and he has grown up, and he still has a fan base here. Why not? I mean, he was a huge fan favorite.
No, absolutely he was. The question is, and I think it was our second caller said it, but there's not a need for him. Do you need him? You don't need him. It's not like you got three outfielders got hurt, and now you need to find somebody, and you go get him, and he's a pleasant surprise for you. He's, you know, rejuvenated and all that. It's not like you need to go actively get him. If he falls in your lap and you have to go get a guy, yeah. But just, I don't see them pursuing him.
All right. One other Dodger note here. Bill Plunkett wrote, interesting, that Trevor Bauer is coming back.
At least to where?
At least he's coming back on social media.
Oh, okay.
At least he's coming back on social media. He started to post again. So whatever low profile he was keeping is no longer the case. He's starting to post stuff again. And keep in mind, the district attorney got the case back in August. We're in February, and they have not filed charges. So there's a good possibility no charges will be filed. And if no charges will be filed, that means that Trevor Bauer criminally didn't do anything. Now, we pointed out that Major League Baseball has a very different set of guidelines, and they can impose a penalty. They can suspend him. They've done it in the past with others. But it comes down to this. If no criminal charges are filed against him and baseball elects to suspend him, he will probably appeal that. And I'm not exactly sure. We'll get David Vasse on next hour. But if he appeals that, if you appeal something, don't you get paid until the appeal is rectified? If you're suspended.
Yeah, that's a good question.
And you appeal, you get paid until the appeal is heard and a decision is rendered. So if that's the case, the Dodgers.
Or they, you suspended and they don't pay you. And then if you appeal and win, then you get all that back money that they owe you. I think that's how it works. But I'm not 100% sure. But if they suspend you, that means they're suspending you. And I got to be clear, again, we're going to ask David Vasse, but I don't think they would have to, he would have to fight after that to get paid.
All right, so in theory, we'll ask Dave, if he's suspended, he will not be paid until the appeal, at least the way you're thinking it, is heard. But that would mean then if it was overturned, the Dodgers would owe him $32 million.
Yes.
If he gets paid pending the appeal hearing, the Dodgers would start paying him $32 million for this season.
Yes.
And if they had to do that, don't you think that would impact what they might be able to do in signing players?
Oh, 100%. Hey, it's $32 million on the books, Fred. Of course it impacts. Of course it does. And it might be, you know, what they're waiting around for and figuring it out of can they go get, well, they should be able to go get Freddie Freeman regardless if they want to go get him because he's not that, what is he, what did we say, $186 million. But if you're talking in those, you know, it affects if you're talking in that, you know, $300 million guy that, you know, people are throwing out Correa, which I don't think will ever happen, then it affects that for sure.
Yeah. I think it'll be really interesting now. And we should know, you know, what's interesting about this is we're getting close now. In theory, if there was no lockout to spring training, and baseball still has not rendered a decision, maybe they can't until after the lockout. But that's something we'll ask David Vasse coming up next hour. How would you feel if the Lakers played half of their games at the Crypt and half of their games in San Antonio, Texas? We'll talk about that next.
If you missed any of Rogan and Rodney, you can podcast it on the iHeartRadio app.
Rogan and Rodney.
AM 570 LA Sports.
If you see me walking down the street and I start to cry.
Tell me what to do, Fred.
Each time we meet, walk on by.
Yeah, walk on by. Yeah, come on, Freddie. Walk Rodney on Pete, Fred by. Rogan on the Throwback Thursday. Yes.
Make believe. All right, Rodney. Welcome to the future.
And I hate it.
Welcome. Think about it for a second.
And I hate it.
I know. I don't think fans, at least in this market, would embrace it.
No.
Tampa Bay Rays, for a period of time, had this plan. Stuart Sternberg is the owner of the Rays. He bought the team back in 2005. And we know they really don't draw in Tampa Bay. They have a very good team. They got a bad stadium there. I think they're going to build a new one. But they don't really draw in Tampa Bay. So his plan, and he went to baseball with it, was we'll play half our games in Tampa Bay and half our games in Montreal. So we'll split the season. We'll have two homes, basically. Now, baseball really thought about this. And then they said, no, we can't allow that to happen. We're not going to let you play half your games in one place and half your games in the other, and basically have two markets. Although, if you think about it, it's pretty smart. Just marketing revenue from two markets instead of one. Two fan bases rooting for one team. It does make sense. It's very smart. And Sternberg believes that despite the fact baseball killed the plan this go-round, this is going to be happening in the future, where you'll have one team playing in two cities. Half their games here, half their games there. Capturing two markets. He believes it's going to happen, looking into the future, and that doesn't necessarily mean it will only be in one sport. Once somebody does it and it works, others will follow. So look at a market like San Antonio, Texas, a good market, a growing market. They could have a team and, let's say, split it with Nashville, another up-and-coming growing market.
Are we talking baseball now?
We're just talking baseball because that's what this is.
Yeah.
But Sternberg believes it could translate into other sports.
Right.
If it works in one place, there's no reason to think it wouldn't work in another. So if it works in one sport, and I know traditionalists will never have it, it's very forward-thinking. But when you really consider it, it kind of makes sense if you own a team. If you can capture two markets with one team.
It makes sense if you, like you said, if you own the team,
yeah,
and you can make that happen. But for if you're a fan of a team, it sucks. It's terrible. You think Dodger fans would feel good about splitting, you know, Dodger home games between here and where they used to play, Albuquerque, you know, where they used to go have the AAA team there, or Oklahoma City where they play, or even, you want to do Arizona because the Diamondbacks are here now. But no, you wouldn't want to do that. Or the Yankees splitting their home games between New York and Tampa where they, you know, have their spring training. That wouldn't be good. But for an owner, if you could do that, even in other sports, imagine if the Raiders played half their home games in Las Vegas and the other half back in Oakland, how that, you know, that crowd base in Oakland or L.A. or wherever they did it, because a brand like that could travel anywhere. But if they said, we're going to go back to Oakland for four games, people go nuts in the Bay Area for them to come back there for four games. So it could, for the owner standpoint, yeah, I see where if you can capture two markets, that would be wildly popular. But for the fans, no.
But what you do is you create a sense of urgency, right? And scarcity. Hey, we're only playing X number of games here. We're not playing in baseball 81 games.
Yeah.
Look at the Phoenix market, for example.
But I think the baseball may be the only sport that it can work. I know he said that it could cross over to other sports, but because baseball plays so many games, you probably could get away with it. If you're talking about breaking up football and a city's only got 8 home games to begin with, and now you're going to tell me you're going to take four away? No, I ain't going for it.
All right, but let's go back to baseball for a second. So look at the Arizona Diamondbacks. You would think Phoenix would be a great market for baseball, right? All the spring training games are there. So you think this is going to be great. It's an up-and-coming market. I think it's top 10 now. There's money in Phoenix. So we'll put Major League Baseball here. All right, and here's the problem. And they built that stadium downtown, Chase Field. It's a dome stadium. And so it's okay. I mean, you know, you're not going to burn to death in the summer if you go to the games. They draw 25,000. They draw 25,000. And I talked to Derek Hall, who used to work for the Dodgers, who's the president of the Diamondbacks, and it was simple. Too hot. People aren't going out in the summer. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Even if we play inside.
Right. They're not coming out.
They're not coming out. We're going to draw 25,000.
And they may not even be in town.
Right.
Your diehard baseball fans.
Right. They may be gone because it's simply too hot.
Yeah.
So let's say Phoenix split with Nashville, which would kill for a major league team. That might work. Just might. Look at hockey. Now, hockey's interesting because, you know, the Kings normally sell out. So do the Ducks, or very close to it. It doesn't really translate big on TV because you have to see hockey in person. But if you're a hockey fan, you go to hockey. You love hockey.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So let's say the Kings played 40 of their games here and 40 of their games in another market. Two fan bases. And this really comes down to the gate. That's what this is. It's the gate and the marketing dollars. Because the TV revenue is what it is. That won't matter. You get paid that. So it's the gate and the marketing revenue. And if you only playing 40 games of hockey here, but played 40 games of hockey somewhere else and could charge more for those tickets, if that was the case, the owner goes, well, this is great. I just made more money. This is much better for me. Baseball. If you could play in two markets, Tampa doesn't draw. Really, Miami doesn't draw.
Yeah.
What if one team controlled both markets? Miami played in Tampa. They had both markets. Would they have a better chance of drawing? Reduce the number of games?
Oh, you're saying so there is no Tampa or Miami. There's one team that controls both Tampa and Miami.
Right.
So they play between the both of them.
Right. They go back to they become the Florida Rays or the Florida Marlins, whatever. And they play in both markets. Would that increase the gate? Because there's a scarcity? There aren't as many games to go to? It might.
And then what do you do in the playoffs?
You split it up. First round, no. Playoffs, whoever draws the best.
That's a competition.
Yeah, so if Tampa outdrew them, you play in Tampa. If Miami outdrew them, you play in Miami. You pick. It's your team. You get to decide where the playoffs are. I know it seems odd.
No, it's odd.
It doesn't seem odd. But boy, when you just talk about it, it doesn't seem that far-fetched. This is not going to happen tomorrow. But
that's not going to happen.
I think it will.
No.
If it did happen, Fred, it'd only be with small market teams like that.
Yeah.
The Dodgers wouldn't need to split their revenue and go somewhere else.
No. All you have to do is look at the stands.
Correct.
Right. You look at the stands, Dodger Stadium, they're not going anywhere.
Yeah. Lakers not going anywhere. Teams like that wouldn't happen.
No. But medium market teams, it could.
Yeah.
And they're always complaining about the fact that they don't have the revenue to compete with the big market clubs.
True.
Right?
Yeah, and you go to a place like you mentioned, like a Nashville, who's an up-and-coming city that is starving for and supports its sports teams. Or, a city like San Antonio, who's tried over the years, but could be very interesting to share a sports team, a baseball team. It could work, you know, or even one of the other cities in the South that could share half the time with them. Somewhere in Alabama, Mississippi, somewhere that you came up with.
Yeah, but you're not going to draw there.
Why not?
I don't think you'll draw there. It'd have to be like Nashville, San Antonio. Markets that are on the verge of cracking the top 10. Growth markets. You'd want to do it in growth markets.
I wonder if Nashville will even go for that. Nashville probably feels big enough to say, we don't want half of anything. We're good enough to have our own team.
Right.
Nashville is a big market. They can sustain their own baseball franchise.
And that's what I'm saying.
They tried to a couple of years ago. Yeah,
they would hold out.
Yeah, Rodney, they say no thank you. Thanks, but no thanks. We don't need it.
Okay, we're going to expand now. And here's the deal. You split this team with San Antonio. We're not doing it. Okay, you're out. Thank you. You're out.
You think baseball would do that?
I think
baseball will be better off just saying, here, Nashville, take a team. They can have their own team. Nashville's too big.
Yeah, but you make a valid point, Kevin. When you look at smaller markets, and Nashville is big, but it's still not a major market.
It's not L.A. or New York, but it's also not Podunk, Iowa either.
No, it is a growth market.
Yeah.
It's a growth market. I don't know. I think you're going to see this down the road. I think you will absolutely see this happen.
It sounds like a logistical nightmare, to be honest. You're talking about concessions workers in different places and rent that you have to pay in different stadiums.
Travel equipment
managers and all that. There's a lot of logistics. For franchises that don't make a lot of money, you probably have to spend some resources just to pull this sort of thing off. So there's that part of it, too.
Well, it's
you better be selling out in that other city you're going
right.
to.
You have to. Remember the old KC Omaha Kings? In the NBA? Do you remember that, Kevin? You're not old enough.
The KC Omaha Kings? No, I don't.
Yeah, they played half their games in Kansas City.
I remember the KC Kings. I don't remember them going to Omaha.
Yeah, they played half their games in Kansas City and half their games in Omaha.
Was there a reason why for that? Or
split two markets, split it up.
Just
obviously,
because.
Obviously, Omaha was not a great call.
Correct.
And as it turned out, Kansas City wasn't a great NBA
market. Well, you know, whatchamacallit did that? Green Bay. Half the games, they would play two games a year in Milwaukee. They did that when I played.
That's right, yeah. back
they
in the day.
A couple games. Yeah, they would have at least two games in Milwaukee every single year in that old Milwaukee baseball stadium that they would play in. And there were a couple times when I was in Detroit that we actually had that draw where we actually played in Milwaukee. So, yeah, and I remember, and they stopped doing it, as Green Bay fans in Green Bay went crazy and said, absolutely not. What are we doing? They stopped that.